Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Morbid early and ad-free. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
You're listening to a Morbid Network podcast.
Hey guys, I have to tell you about this all-in-one shake that I'm freaking loving. It's called Cachava. I love saying it. It's actually hands down the best thing that I've found to help me get all my essential nutrients into one day. Cachava is the all-in-one superfood shake made up of high-quality plant-based nutrients. It's got greens, superfruits, plant proteins, antioxidants, adaptogens, probiotics. In other words, literally everything that your body craves to feel your best. And I know what you're thinking. Something that good for me cannot possibly taste good. Wrong. That's where Cachava really earns their over 52,000 five-star reviews. It actually tastes freaking amazing. It's very creamy and smooth, and it comes together with just water. And it comes in five delicious flavors. Personally, vanilla and chai are my personal favorites, but it also comes in chocolate, matcha, and coconut acai, which I still need to try. Some people like to drink it as part of a healthy breakfast or lunch, and other people love it as a protein-packed snack before or after a workout. It's really perfect for that because it has 25 grams of plant protein per serving. Personally, I like to add mine to my overnight oats. I add a scoop and I mix it all up to get a little more protein into my oats. And literally, I can have that for breakfast and feel satiated, nourished, beautiful, functioning, all throughout my day. It's incredible. Please send me more of it because I love it so much. It makes me feel very, very good. And guess what, guys? Cachava is offering our listeners 10% off for a limited time. Just go to cachava.com/morbid, spelled K-A-C-H-A-V-A, and get 10% off your first order. That's K-A-C-H-A-V-A.com/morbid.
Guys, it's hard to start working out, and it's even harder to maintain working out, especially if you don't like your fitness routine, which a lot of times it can be dull, just for me personally, that's all I'm saying. But Peloton really keeps me motivated, mainly because I love the instructors and I feel like I'm losing my friends when I'm not on that bike. But also, Peloton helps you start no matter what level you're at. Wherever you're starting, there's thousands of classes to get you moving. Whether that's beginner or advanced rides, feel-good live DJ rides, or artist theme rides, they've got something for you. And like I said, the Peloton bike instructors not only are wonderful and feel like your friends, but they help keep you motivated from day one. They'll show you the basics, you know, take the guesswork out of your workout and encourage you to build. So you're like, I want to make you proud of me. And Peloton Entertainment keeps you moving. Watch your favorite TV shows and live sports as you ride. Perfect for those days when you just don't want to miss a thing. Wherever you're starting, get moving with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at www.onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. Hey, weirdos. It's me. It's Elena. What's going on? How's your day? I hope it's awesome. That's all I wanted to say. No, I'm just kidding. This is a message because I think a couple of episodes ago, we talked about how we are going back to the OG way of doing things. We're doing two episodes a week, two big old honkin' delicious juicy episodes with one listener tale a month, just as a little cherry, little glitter on top of a crazy month. And we're going to keep doing that. But I think we were also debating what days would be best for this new two episode a week cadence because we figured, you know, from Wednesday to Monday is a long wait for us and for you. Too much. We'd all be sad. We don't want that. So we finally came up with a good cadence. We're going to drop episodes on Monday and Thursday from here on out. So Mondays, Thursdays, that's when they'll come out on Wondery Plus. Then a week later, you will get them Monday and Thursday for everybody else. So that's what we're going to do. You deserve consistency. We want to give it to you. I know we didn't do that in the first like 3 years. We were like willy-nilly, whenever you get episodes, here it is. But you know, we're on that consistency train and we want to stay on that. And yeah, I think this is going to work for everybody. It just feels better. We don't want that big chunk of time between episodes. You don't either. So yeah, that's what we're going to do. Mondays, Thursdays, new episodes. We're excited about it. It lets us really put more time and effort into these episodes, which is what they deserve and what you deserve. And we fucking love you. And I can't wait to see you every Monday and Thursday. I know I won't see you. I realize that. I won't even hear you. But it feels like I will. And you will hear me. So we're all in this together. We're best friends. Thanks, guys. Mondays, Thursdays. Whoop, whoop. Hey, weirdos. I'm Elena.
I'm Ash.
And this is Morbid.
Just coming off of a little celebratory moment.
We got
to see Obituary last night live in Somerville.
In Somerville, kids.
And we got to meet some of our fucking podcast BBs.
It was beautiful.
It was elegant.
You probably saw a picture. It looks like The Last Supper, but awesome.
It does look like The Last Supper, but better.
But awesome. Because there's supper. No Brutus.
Oh,
Ash's microphone is literally attempting to assault her.
It's
falling off of the table. No. Mikey to the rescue.
Please
He's going to fix it.
All right, we're back and better than ever. And Elena's got a correction.
It's also, it's Judas. I know it's Judas. Brutus is the Caesar one. Judas, Brutus, they're all betraying people.
I like Caesar dressing.
Am I right?
Yeah. That's my hot take. That's my hot take today, love.
I also love Caesar dressing, as long as it's not too fishy.
Yeah, that's fucking foul.
Sometimes you get one that's like, ooh, that's a lot of anchovy.
Oh my gosh, I was going to say, do you know why? I wanted to tell you something. It's really hard to tell you something that you don't already know.
That you don't already know?
Okay. It's a lot of souls coming out today. We are both on like 3 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
Because we got to party hardy with our fucking friends.
Yeah, it was wild. Like, I got to be an adult and go out.
And by party hardy, I mean Elena ordered a Shirley Temple.
Just like a straight up Shirley Temple.
I know.
Yeah, nothing added to it. And it was great.
I'm happy about that. You know what Madison taught me last night? Madison
what?
From Obituary, which you should go see and buy tickets to. Plug, plug.
They are amazing.
She taught me to mix, and I think it's a Harry Styles song, to mix Diet Coke and red wine and Cabernet specifically. Sounds like absolutely disgusting and foul. And I was like, I trust you. I took a sip. Life-changing. It sounds fucking crazy. It's so good.
I just hate diet anything.
But it doesn't end up tasting diet because I like Diet Coke.
I was going to say, I literally hate the taste of Diet Coke.
Well, you could do it with regular Coke too. It almost has like a sangria vibe.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, you should try it.
You should try it.
Stop copying me.
Oh yeah. I got yelled at. I accidentally, because I don't look at any, like, I usually don't see any comments because I'm just like I don't go on the internet anymore. But
we go on the internet to post what we want to post.
Exactly.
And then I'm out. Get that bread.
I'm out. And I happened to be on Instagram and I got one of those like banner notifications and it was somebody on a Morbid post being like, hey, has anyone else noticed how fucking annoying Elena is that she just repeats all the funny things that Ash says in a like different voice? And I was like,
they said, has anyone else noticed?
Yeah, has anyone else noticed how annoying Elena is? And I was like,
why are you here?
I was like, what did that get you?
Sometimes I wonder if people think that's kind of like endear me to them. And I'm gonna be like, oh my God, like I know she sucks.
You're
right?
So nice for saying that. It's like, no, now Ash fucking hates you too.
I don't like you. Don't be mean to my sister. You
like,
fucking,
that doesn't work.
You fucking putz.
Like I got, like whatever, it's like pit. Us against each other.
It's
I'm
not
like,
gonna work.
Do you think Ash is gonna like you for that? Like, Ash is we ride at dawn for each other. Like,
literally,
it's not
like we could like punch each other in the face one day. We never have.
We never have.
But we could. And then Elena could call me and be like, hey, I need you. And I'd be like, what time?
Yeah, let's go.
Like, I'm here actually. So,
whose car we taking?
Whose car we taking? I feel like I can't say that because I've never seen that movie.
That's a great movie. But
is that The Town?
But yeah, it is The Town.
Hey, look at me.
Yeah. So I just, I just was like, wow, okay.
You need to sign out of the Morbid account on your
phone.
I
do need to.
Because then you don't get those banner notifications.
Because that was the problem. I don't go looking because
of course not.
Because whenever I do, I accidentally, that's the only thing you'll see.
Is nasty.
You'll miss all the nice things that people say.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
Yeah.
And you only will see that one nasty one because they always make sure to be like, you know, has anyone noticed that Elena is annoying? And I'm like, okay.
So sign out of that, but then you might need to also, because I need to do this, you might need to unfollow Morbid, which is so sad.
I'm so sad.
But I follow Morbid because, like, it's my podcast.
Say it.
Yes, my podcast.
Oh my God, you're so annoying.
You're so annoying.
Ah. But so I'll like scroll by and there, it gives you like that like little like two or three comments. Mm. I always see the meanest thing.
Always.
That's like, why can't Ash speak?
Yeah, that's.
And I'm like, because brain damage, okay? Those, I don't know.
Those are always the ones that yes. show. And I'm like, wow, Instagram, like that's fake as fuck. Why do you just show me the mean ones?
I saw one recently that was like, wow, has a podcast, but she can't fucking talk.
And I was like, all right.
Well, there's two of us for when I can't talk.
And I just gotta ask again. I know we've all asked this before. What's wrong with you? Like, who does that? Like, who just goes, like, what do you get out of that? It's, like, that girl yeah. who was like, has anyone noticed that Elena's annoying? I'm like, even if you gathered an army of people that were like, we are the riders of Elena being annoying, and you started a what group and you had meetings and like you had like a special handshake that you did.
That'd be
like,
cool.
Do you feel good? Like, what else? What are you getting out of it?
Also, why are you doing a census on my post?
That's the thing. And it's like on my post.
That's annoying in the mail. I don't need it on my post.
But I was, and also that person followed me and I was like, all right.
Well, hate following is a thing that people love to do.
Well, it's a hate following. It's yeah. like,
you love me.
I was literally like, sounds like someone protests too much.
Thou doth.
I don't think you find me annoying. I think you like me.
I know. It's like, it's one of those things where you're like, oh my God, you shouldn't pay it any mind. Like, of course. But sometimes yeah. you just got to vent it out.
Which that's the thing. It's like normally, like we've really gotten to a point years through this that we don't pay it any mind. Like
no.
the constructive stuff, sure. But like,
totally.
Just people being dicks like that. Like, that's not constructive at all. Like, you can fuck yourself.
No, that's just me.
But like,
and, like that, go listen to another
that kind of shit is like, you're being an asshole for the sake of being an asshole. And yeah. I don't know what you got out of it, but I sure hope it gave you some kind of jolly because
I hope it
sounds
though.
Like you need it.
Well, also you're just like creating a negative space for yourself. And like,
yeah.
I speak from experience. If you put things out into the world that are negative, even if you're not talking shit, like even if you're just talking negatively, it comes back to you.
It's true.
And then you're just attracting negative, negative.
Karma is the thing, man.
Attract abundance.
That's why we're, and you know, it took like a while to get here, but that's yes. why we're in a place where we're just like, you know what? Whatever. And we're also in a place of just like, we're going to keep trying to like build people up that yeah. deserve to be built up. Like, that's why we shout out different creators for you guys to go check out.
And you're also because you're that's like the what, queen of that. I don't even do that as much as you. Like, you're so philanthropic.
It's just fun. And it's really fun to see when like especially on TikTok, I've been seeing it lately and it's like really making me happy. You guys like fucking kill it.
Yeah.
Cause like morbid listeners will go follow these people that we mention.
Right.
And then they'll be like, oh, I came here for morbid. And it's so fun to see. Cause
of
then
course.
It's like, they are, and they're always like, oh, I'm so excited to have found this. This is so fun. And it's like, yeah. I love like blowing those people up.
You know what that's called? Community.
That's called community, man.
That's called my brothers in Christ.
Hell yeah.
I love
that's
y'all.
What we are.
That's called my brothers in Brutism.
You guys are the real ones. Get so it? Don't think that we take like the isn't Elena annoying ones as like our listeners. That's
no,
that's
not
who we listen to. Don't
or
worry
like
about
Ash
it.
Can't talk.
You guys are exactly. Like, you guys are the real ones. We know who you are. We
and
know
we
who
that
we know who this community is. We met a lot of you last night.
It was so cool.
It was wonderful.
That
and you guys are magical.
That will never not be cool.
Yeah. So we know who you are. So don't worry. They don't represent you.
But anyways,
I just wanted to put it out there that like, you know, if you're doing that kind of shit on the internet, like you should probably reevaluate where you sit in life.
Can
because that's
something?
A really pathetic thing to do.
One more thing.
What?
I just have to tell you, if you're doing that, I'm literally just picturing you sitting in a crusty basement picking your toe cheese.
That's actually very true.
That's exactly because I'm like, you're not happy. And I know you
yeah.
have a fungal infection and I'm sorry about it. But
because think about all the times
fault,
in your life that you have talked shit like that or been somebody like that when like you're younger and
yeah.
like all that, it was always in the worst fucking times of your
when
life.
You hate
it was
yourself.
Never when you were happy. It was never when you were a fulfilled person.
No.
And that's why I'm just like, wow, that's sad.
No, and I can honestly
that's a bummer
say,
for you.
I have never written a nasty comment
yeah.
on somebody else's Instagram.
It's so strange.
Like, what the fuck is wrong with
like,
you?
It's so strange.
Have I subtweeted many, many, many people in my day? Abso-fucking-lutely.
But I'm not going on podcasts being like,
no. One time I even subtweeted Drew when we were in our breakup stage. And he texted
Drew.
Me and he was like, did you just fucking subtweet me? And I was like, I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Like, I don't even know what a subtweet is, Drew.
Who are you?
Okay.
He's like, we dated for a year and a half. I know you're the subtweet queen of the century.
You're like, I don't know him.
Like, who are you? And then I'm like, wait, I love you. Marry me.
Aw, love.
I know. What a wild ride.
That was a wild ride.
It was almost the perfect crime. Stacks of cold, hard cash sitting on the table, unguarded. Who wouldn't be tempted to slowly reach their hand out and steal? A pile of Monopoly money from the banker. Monopoly is one of those games that can bring out our most devious selves, and Monopoly Go takes that gleeful mischievousness to your phone in a wildly popular twist on the classic that you can play anywhere, anytime. Collect rent from friends on iconic properties, bankrupt them by pulling a heist on their vault, even use a wrecking ball to shut down their monuments. And Monopoly Go has timed tournaments where you can team up with friends to unlock big prizes and try to top the leaderboards. Whether you're helping out your friends or going head-to-head for riches, Monopoly Go is an absolute blast. Go download it now free on the App Store or Google Play. One of the first things I notice about people is their smile. I'm a sucker for teeth. I just love good teeth. And that made me hyper aware of my own teeth. And for a while, I was like, I don't know if these are like the best that they could be. But guess what? Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your sleuthin' friends start asking, what's your secret? To get started, all you need to do is order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. That is cheap. Bite clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered right to your door. They make it easy to kick off your smile journey. Bite's treatment costs thousands of dollars less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA or FSA if you've got one. I personally used Bite, and I am so much more confident in my smile now. I also use their whiteners, and oh my god, these pearly whites are popping off. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code MORBID at Bite.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite. Hum! That's me biting.
All right, so we're in part two of a case.
We're in part two of the Burger Chef murders. This is a really sad one.
Yeah, it is.
It's a bummer. It's technically still unsolved, which is always a hard pill to swallow.
I love it, though, when you say technically. Because then I get a little flutter.
Yeah, because it's like we got a pretty viable suspect.
I don't think I ever knew that.
Yeah, there's a pretty viable one.
Sorry. Did they come about recently or have they been?
No, it's been out there and we'll talk about them, but it's one of those things where you just can't pin it.
Mm.
It's like, well, like
probably because they washed down the crime scene.
Yeah.
That might have something
there
to do with it.
There was that whole nonsense.
And like didn't investigate for like a minute.
Yeah. For a solid minute.
Yeah. a brief period of time.
But at the end of part one, I was talking about how, you know, they really had exhausted the few leads that they got. And the state police had actually publicly stated, in this case, we've got to hope that the killer or killers may have told someone who has a conscience who will come forward. So they're not even hoping now that the killer has a conscience. They're hoping that the person that the killer tells this to, they have a conscience and they come forward.
Also, some killers are like pretty good at secrets.
Yeah.
So that's, you should probably.
That tends to be like one of their main traits.
I feel like they should explore other avenues of investigative work.
You never want to hear investigators go, well, the thing we're banking on
that he tells
is
someone.
That this guy just straight up confesses to someone.
You might be waiting a while.
And not only that, confesses to someone that has a conscience. It's like, that's a lot.
Forever.
I don't want to rest all of my hopes and dreams on that. I'd rather rest it on like you investigating the case.
Same.
You know? But either way. That sucks. I had mentioned it before, but in 1978, Speedway police were dealing with a lot more shit than they normally did. This super small Midwestern town was really being pushed like to the limit of its resources. We mentioned in part one that there was these random horrific bombings.
Yeah.
That were seeming and were ended up being connected to the murder of a woman. And that woman was 69-year-old housewife Julia Skyfers. Mm. She was shot to death under very mysterious circumstances. the bombings that followed were just more stress and mystery added on to this whole thing. They happened on September 1st, three bombings happened in Speedway. That Saturday, there were two more, and then another one the next day, and the last one happened the following day at Speedway High School.
Oh, my God.
So it was just constant.
A bombing is, like, one of my biggest fears. Yeah. Because you just don't know.
They were being put in, like, trash cans and stuff, and at the high school, I think they were found in, like, a gym bag. Like, damn. Somebody picked up a gym bag, and it exploded.
Oh, my God.
And, like, people were wounded by shrapnel.
I bet.
Like, it was tough.
And you said they went unsolved, too, right? The bombings?
They did for a while. So these crimes were taking up all the resources and time that this really small town PD had to offer. They were not able to muster up a whole lot more for anything else. And as November turned to December, state and local police were really just grasping at anything that could take the Burger Chef case forward. They just had nothing. But they were not entirely without leads, because Speedway police were continuing to receive leads from the public, from telephone calls, letters. And in the end, they actually produced at least 36 leads that they could deem at least slightly credible, which isn't a whole lot.
No.
But really, the best leads that they had were the tip from that young couple who had been approached by those two men in the parking lot of the Burger Chef.
Because they were packing.
And this was because they were necking. And this was like an hour or so before the robbery and kidnapping occurred. So this was a pretty good witness statement to have. Mm-hmm. The police department didn't have a sketch artist on Chef.
Rock on.
On Chef, on staff.
I didn't even catch that.
I'm tired. I need more caffeine. But they also didn't have the funds or resources available to get a professional one.
Right.
So detectives found and hired Robin England, who was an art student at Ball State University.
Ball State.
Also was the niece of one of the investigators on the case.
Ooh.
And they were willing to create sculpture busts from the descriptions that were provided by the witnesses. And those witnesses later said that the busts were, quote, between 95 and 100% accurate.
Wow. Busts are always so interesting to me.
These busts are a very interesting looking busts.
Oh.
I will say.
I saw that little glimmer in your eye.
They're very interesting looking. And a composite drawing was made from the busts, and it was circulated throughout the press.
Okay.
Now, and again, we have the witnesses saying that these are very accurate. So that means that the composite images are pretty accurate. 95 to 100%. That's huge.
Right.
And they were, at one point, we're going to see that they were able to find a couple of guys that literally are like dead ringers for these guys. And somehow they weren't able to place them in Speedway at the time of the murders. And it like shocked me.
Are they the suspect?
No.
Damn.
So photographs of these busts were circulated around the media. And a statement from State Police Sergeant Chuck Hibbert was released saying, "We are not calling these two men suspects. We just want to talk to them." Which is like, we just want to talk to you.
Literally, I was just going to say.
Yeah.
We just want to talk, man.
Like, hands up. Hands
bro
up.
To bro.
Yeah, it's off the record. It's fine. But beside these witness statements and witness accounts, this was really the biggest evidence they had was these composite images.
Oy.
So detectives hoped that publishing them was maybe going to jog someone's memory of around that time, someone from the public that was around the Burger Chef had maybe caught glimpse of these guys, and seeing the composite image was going to make them go, oh shit, yeah, I did see them. And they were hoping this person would come forward, help with an ID. However, the images definitely prompted people to call in, about 600 calls to police.
Wow.
None of them produced a concrete lead. Not one.
Now, do you think that was because the tip sucked, or do you think that was because the police department sucked?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Could be a combination.
Honestly, that's kind of the theme of this case.
Everyone sucks.
Is like, could it have been solved if they just did their jobs better?
Yes.
And it's like, yeah, like, I think so.
I think I said it last time, or it might have been after we finished recording. If they hadn't cleaned up that crime scene, they could have dusted for prints, and obviously maybe couldn't have done a lot with them back then, but now,
yeah,
boom
we'd have them. And it's like, at this point, we have no idea what evidence was left at that scene.
Nothing.
There could have been DNA at that
blood.
Scene. There could have been anything at that scene.
Hair.
There could have been, hell, there could have been a they could have taken a Polaroid photograph of themselves at that scene and left it on the floor or the counter, and it was thrown away.
Yeah.
We literally don't know. There could have been
boot prints,
a mural painted on the wall by one of them.
We're going
a
in different directions here.
Like it could have just. I'm just an artiste.
You're like, there could have been a Razor scooter belonging to one of the murderers that had DNA on it, and they parked it.
But
away.
You know what? There could have been.
I'm saying
we don't know. Because they just cleaned it all up and threw it away.
It could have hit one of those detectives in the ankle and he didn't even fucking know it.
Exactly. We don't know. That is the most frustrating thing.
That's so
ridiculous. It's not that they like, oh, there was blood and they cleaned it up. It's like, we don't fucking know. No. We have no idea what evidence was at that scene that could have absolutely nailed these fuckers. And it makes me crazy.
Well, and if one of them had a beard, too, you're like, I know that shit was shedding.
I know your shit was not taken care of. It was shedding.
I know it.
So as 1978 came to an end, the murders were kind of starting to fade out of the papers.
That's fucked.
People are starting to move on. Nothing's happening in the case.
From the brutal killing of four youths in town.
And when I say people, I mean everyone but these poor victims' families who are still sitting there waiting for fucking justice. And police are just hitting wall after wall after wall. The reward money that the Burger Chef Corporation put out there, unclaimed, just sitting there. And apparently, even the typically very chatty jailhouse informants could not help push anything forward. And they were actually, there's a quote in the Indianapolis Star that said the Marion County Jail, whose prisoners are usually a gold mine of information about crimes in central Indiana, had not yielded a single good tip about the murder.
Wow.
Like, that's pretty wild. Now, with the public kind of fading away from this case, the headlines are fading away, investigators are now desperate to keep it in the papers, keep the public engaged.
Keep the pressure on these
killers. Yeah, they know they have to make up for what they've done.
Right.
Like what they haven't done for their negligence. So the Indianapolis Star actually set up this new system. And with the system, readers could submit tips or other information anonymously.
Okay.
Which always helps, I feel like. Mm-hmm. It always gets people to talk more. And what they said was, some of you may not realize you hold valuable information that just may aid police in solving the crime. And it said, do not sign the letter, but put a 5-digit number at both the top and the bottom page. Then make a jagged tear across the bottom of the sheet just above the number.
Okay.
So I was like, that seems like a lot.
That's very intricate.
Can I just write in?
A lot of people are going to be intimidated by that. A lot of people are going to fuck that process up.
Yeah, I'm going to be honest. If I'd be like, oh, okay. And then I'd read, like, put a 5-digit thing. And I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, and I'd start. And then it would be like, also make this jack. And I'd be like, I'm out. Like, the third thing you asked me to do, I'm out.
You know what that reminds me of? And I don't know if it will make sense to anyone else. It reminds me of the instructions for a Scantron test.
Oh, that's absolutely going to make sense. To everyone listening, good. I feel
like. Like that, like, do those, yeah, you get it,
absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like your teacher would be like, okay, fill in this bubble with this specific pencil. Do not fill in the bubbles that are colored like this. Yep. And you were like, I have so much anxiety right now.
Write your name up here. Write your name on the bottom. Write your class number here.
Yes.
Write your class number here. Don't you dare write your class number here. Write my name over here. And you're like, can I just take the test?
Like, but what's my name?
What's my name, though? I don't understand. So the Star's reward desk immediately started receiving letters off of this because people were apparently not intimidated by it.
Okay.
We're all like, we would suck at this. But in 78, they were like, we're fine with it.
I mean, they were probably better.
Yeah, you know, they had to do a lot of shit.
In those moments when money isn't moving as fast as your dreams are, Earnin provides the financial momentum that you need to keep moving forward. Earnin is the app that's helping millions of Americans to feel self-sufficient without falling into debt traps. Earnin empowers you to live life to the fullest by providing up to $100 a day of your pay within minutes of earning it. No mandatory fees and no credit check. All you get to do is watch your earnings tick up as you work and access up to $750 per pay period. It's easy and it's free to get started. Add your bank and employment info and they will verify your paycheck. Earnin is designed to support you in the short term and the long term. Money at the speed of you. Get up to $100 a day of your pay within minutes of earning it. No mandatory fees, no credit check. Download Earnin today, spelled E-A-R-N-I-N, in the Google Play or Apple App Store. When you download the Earnin app, type in Morbid under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. Morbid under podcast. Subject to your available earnings, location, daily max, and pay period max. See earnin.com/TOS for details. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank. Bank products are issued by Evolve Bank and Trust, member FDIC. Are you the kind of person who loves a touch-up on the go, or maybe you're a full glam while in the carpool kind of human? Maybe there's no time for a full face in the morning between kids, pets, work, all of that. Maybe you woke up late. Well, Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation is perfect for those moments when life moves fast. I absolutely love this foundation because it doesn't settle into any fine lines or wrinkles, and you can just toss this thing in your purse. You say, oh my gosh, I have a little smudge right here. Let me fix it really quick. It's perfect. And it's now in 16 shades. It offers SPF 20, which, like, that's amazing. It's got moisturizing pro vitamin B5. And I love the applicator. It's a blurring sponge. So you can just tap, tap, tap it to reset your foundation and you are good. Shop Maybelline's new Instant Age Rewind Eraser Foundation at amazon.com/instant-eraser-foundation.
So some weren't, like, super detailed. Like, one came from Johnson County from a man who said that he saw a suspicious man who bore a striking resemblance to the clean-shaven man. And this man was standing alone on Stones Crossing Road on November 18th. And that's it.
All right.
Just, like, saw this guy.
That looked like that guy.
Without a beard. Standing.
On a street.
On that day.
Over there.
Like, I saw him. I saw him on that night, and he was standing.
And he did not have a beard.
That man was not sitting. He was standing. And I imagine that these robbers, I imagine they were standing. So
I'm like, did he look suspicious?
Case closed, my friends. It's like,
he just waiting for okay. a bus?
Like, thanks for that, I guess. Like, we'll keep that in mind, yeah. that road contained a man that was standing.
Contained.
Yeah, so then there was other ones that were a little more detailed. One came from a Greenwood gas station attendant. He wrote in saying that he actually recognized those busts as two men who'd shortchanged him in the early morning hours of November 18th.
I have something to say.
Ooh.
If a gas station attendant tells you something,
listen. Yeah.
They know, like, in a criminal investigation. I feel like they know.
Yeah, just in a criminal investigation.
Not like on a Tuesday, but.
Or in Urban Legend, the movie, when that poor man was just trying to scream, someone's in the back seat.
Oh, that man.
And she was being a dick.
She was being such a bitch.
That's one of those situations where you're like, you had the day you deserved, girl. I don't know what to tell you.
That man is so sweet.
So sweet. And he was just trying to tell you something, and he's a gas station attendant.
Yeah, he knows.
He knows.
They have seen some shit.
They're harbingers. They tell you when evil is afoot, and you need to listen to
them.
Think
about our friend at the gas station. He knows what the fuck is up.
Hell yeah, he always knows what's up.
And he has all the fucking drama.
Hell yeah, he does.
So listen to your local gas station attendant if they're informing you about a crime.
And this guy is saying that on November 18th in the early morning hours, he was shortchanged by two men who looked like those busts.
And of course you're going to remember that.
Yes, and he said it was strange because these men bought $12 worth of gas for their black Chevrolet. Oh. So he was able to provide that. And he said, but they attempted to pay with a $5 bill and two singles.
What?
So they attempted to pay $7 for $12 worth of gas. I think he thought like that they probably thought that he would just take the five thinking it was a 10.
Yep.
They could leave before he noticed, which like, wow, you're an asshole.
The fact that you just broke that down so easily.
Because a 10 and two singles. No, exactly. So it's like, I think they just did it to be dicks and like
criminal
hoped he wouldn't notice. But I'm like, no,
that's shitty.
He's smarter than you. Now he immediately pointed out this error and he was like, I think you gave me the wrong bill.
Maybe.
And they were like, oh, okay. So they went back to their car, they got the money, but then he said they both, quote, spewed obscenities at him while driving off.
What the fuck?
And it's like,
you
okay,
stole his gas.
To me, that's a pretty credible tip.
Yeah, because that's already a crime,
and they seem like the kind of pieces of shit that would do something awful,
right? So maybe track down,
like, if you're that big of a piece of shit, you're a piece of shit through and through.
Shit.
So the tips from the Speedway Police Hotline and the Indianapolis Star's Reward Desk, they prompted hundreds of responses, but really only a handful actually produced viable leads that they could even chase down. And then when they chased down those leads, nothing. Mm-hmm. Even the viable leads they chased down, nothing. So after 2 months of investigation, there was still not even a clear motive for this crime, because the robbers had seemingly gone into the Burger Chef to rob the restaurant.
Right.
But if that was the case, why the fuck did they kidnap and murder four teens there? Like, right. Why did they do that? And it's like, we always hear the robbery gone wrong explanation for these kind of situations.
Always.
But this was really wrong. Like, this went really wrong. And not only really wrong, but they took them far away.
Well, that's the thing. I feel like that's not even a typical robbery gone wrong. They're just going to, like, presumably shoot them and leave them there.
That's the thing. That would be a robbery gone wrong, that they just start shooting, right, and everybody is at the scene.
Right.
Very rare. I mean, typically robbers aren't in the habit of executing people in the middle of the woods. Like, pretty rare for that to happen. So the best explanation that detectives could have come to was that something had thrown them off their plan that night.
Mm-hmm.
That they went in there ready to rob that place, and some unexpected thing happened that threw the whole thing into just shenanigans. And the only difference that night that they could come to was the presence of Mark Flemons. He had switched shifts with another employee. Investigators started to theorize that Flemons knew or could at least identify one or more of the robbers who were thrown off by his presence and killed all of them in a panic. I don't agree with that. I think they're looking at that theory from the wrong angle, in my opinion. I don't think it was that Mark knew these people. I think it was that they went in there thinking there was four specific people that were going to be working, which it also was a girl who was supposed to be working in Mark's place.
Mm.
I wonder if they went in there saying, okay, there's three girls, there's one boy, and the boy is like a 16-year-old.
Yep.
We can take him. And then when they went in there and they saw now there's two strong, there's two like teenage boys, that threw everything off. I don't think it had to do with Mark knowing who these criminals were.
Because why would the only people that I would think he would know are like his fellow high schoolers.
That's the thing. I'm like, I don't
think this is the work of two high school students.
No, exactly. But even with all of that, it's still like that. Even if they came in there and they saw what they were not expecting to see, which is apparently an extra boy instead of an extra girl,
because
that's just my random speculation, I can see that like throwing everybody off. But like to that extent?
Yeah, that's exactly it. Not to that extent.
It's just that there's a lot of unanswered questions in that.
I feel like that's a theme of this whole piece.
Yeah, every time you think you're like, oh, well, maybe this happened, you're like, no, that doesn't make sense. But maybe this is one of those things, too, that it's like, it doesn't make sense. It's senseless. So, like, maybe that's what it is.
That was very profound.
Thank you. You're welcome. Thought so, too.
No, and I think it really was.
So by March of 1979, really the problem, you know, the territorial thing between the departments.
Egos.
The fragile egos. It was, again, causing problems for the Burger Chef murder investigation.
Come on.
And there was a lot of confusion among the press that was happening. On March 7th, the Indianapolis News reported, quote, Speedway Police Chief Robert Copeland and all his officers were ordered by his police commissioners and state police not to talk about any aspect of the November slayings. So they're essentially saying there was a gag order put on them.
Right.
But then, when reporters asked more about this, they were told by the state police superintendent, John Shettle, this is the first I've heard of it. We don't dictate to anyone. We try to cooperate in a case like this.
What?
Those are two very conflicting things.
Yeah, that's opposite day, baby.
And then in the same vein, a spokesperson for the governor's office said, quote, gag orders are the authority of the judicial system.
Right.
Which implies that unless a judge has issued that gag order,
it's null and void.
You're not under a gag order. So it's so wild. And there was no explanation for this. So it seemed like Copeland's, gag order, quote unquote, really was nothing more than just an attempt to avoid questions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and not take on more scrutiny or deal with more scrutiny from the press. Basically, not wanting to confront the fact that they had made zero progress in this case and that it was botched from the start. And he was like, if I just say there's a gag order, nobody can talk about it. And it won't bring any focus to the negligence that we have committed.
Because that's the thing. He just doesn't have answers. So he's like, I can't say anything.
It's like, but you're just lying and making people believe you less.
He put a gag order on himself. He said, if you don't have anything to say, don't say anything.
Don't say anything at all.
Because what could you say if you don't have anything to say?
But then he just lied. And I was like, that's something.
Like a liar.
He lied right out of his face and into their faces.
Fucked up, brother.
But whatever. So investigators thought they actually found that had actually caught a break in April.
Okay.
They finally something popped. Two men were arrested in Chicago on murder charges.
Shit.
And they were discovered to bear a pretty uncanny resemblance to the composite sketches.
Here we are.
Here we are. Now, on April 24th, Milwaukee police, because it was in charges were in Milwaukee. Mm. Milwaukee police arrested Stephen Coffey and Norman Pepin. These were two criminals from Somerville, Massachusetts.
I was there last night.
We were there last night.
Oh, my God. They're fucking stomping ground.
There it is. So they were arrested for attempting to cash $300 in traveler's checks. But those traveler checks had been stolen from
travelers.
Not just a random person, but one of two men killed in a, quote, execution style killing.
Oh,
yeah. The previous day, they had been flagged as being dead ringers for the composite sketches.
Execution style killings, you say?
Oh, yeah. It gets even crazier. So on Monday, April 23rd, they met three men. This is what happened. They met three men at a Milwaukee Holiday Inn. They were in the city for an engineering conference, and the four of them went to a disco, as you do.
Loves it.
Now, on their way back to the motel, they pulled off the side of the road and they robbed these men at gunpoint.
Jesus. They took them to a disco and then robbed them.
And what's even wilder about this is they then, quote, forced them to lie down in a ditch and shot them to death.
Dude.
Does this sound familiar?
Sure does.
Now, miraculously, one of the men survived.
Wow.
And he called the police and was able to identify these two.
And he had been shot?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
Now, based on their resemblance to the sketches and the fact that this was very similar, made them lie down, face down in a ditch before shooting them, that all that like similarities to the Burger Chef case, they had Coffey and Pepin extradited to Indiana.
I don't blame them.
Because they were like, yeah, we got to at least look at this.
Yeah, talk to y'all.
There, they appeared before a judge and they had to wear paper bags over their heads because they couldn't jeopardize a lineup. Wow. And it would have tainted a lineup to have their faces out there.
I love that crafty, crafty solution.
And don't you love that visual?
Yes,
it's,
I do.
It's so weird.
It feels wrong.
Now, unfortunately, apparently, when they looked at the timeline of everything, police announced on May 1st that Coffey and Pepin were no longer people of interest in the Burger Chef case.
Did they give reason?
Just like the timeline didn't match up. But I'm like,
okay, but like why? Like I need you to say because they were in Chicago when this happened.
Well, and that's and it's like,
nah, the timeline didn't work. I'm like, what about it didn't
well,
work?
And also it's like, I don't know if I trust you. With this case.
I know that I don't.
Yeah. I don't know about that.
Yeah, girl, me either.
I just don't know about that.
Yo no sé.
Yeah, but by October of that year, investigators once again found themselves just completely leadless on this whole thing. And it seemed like the Burger Chef murders were really fading out of the forefront here. They were fading out of the press. People weren't taking as much interest. And on October 2nd, the Metropolitan Board of Police Commissioners voted unanimously to fire Police Chief Robert Copeland.
Oh, shit.
And they voted to do this because of his lack of leadership on the bombings and the murder of Julia, and then also the Burger Chef murders.
So all the recent crimes.
All the things that he failed to lead his department about.
All of his jobs.
And so he was fired. And then after that, there was a bunch of dismissals or transfers of like at least a handful of other law enforcement officers that had something to do with the Burger Chef case.
Wow.
So they got either transferred out or they were just dismissed.
That's interesting that some of them got transferred out and some got dismissed.
Yeah, it's a very strange.
I also don't know about that.
I don't know about that. Now, yeah. So years are going by at this point.
Right.
Tips are starting to dry up. They're coming in, but they're not really doing anything. Leads are definitely nowhere to be found. And the case is really going cold at this point. Then in December of 1984, Indianapolis Star journalist Dan Lusitter. I think it's Lusatter or Lusitter.
I thought Lusatter? You said loser. And I was like, I don't think that's
Lusitter,
it.
I think it is.
Okay.
He received a call from an inmate from the Marion County Jail. Finally, they're chit-chatting.
Alrighty.
Now, this inmate was in there after being arrested for a ton of thefts. This man said that he had information about the Burger Chef case. He said, it's going to be a great story, and I will happily give it to you as long as you're willing to help me out.
No.
And so Dan was like, yeah, I don't know how I can possibly help you because I'm a journalist. Like, I'm not a judge. So, like, I don't know what to tell you. But he was like, you know what? It's worth finding out at least what he has to say. So he made his way down to the Marion County Jail to talk to him. Now, at this point, the Burger Chef murder case is 6 years old.
Damn.
And at this point, like, every single detail had been told, retold in the newspapers. It'd been turned around, it'd been lied about, it'd been retracted, all this
stuff. Just been through the mud.
It has.
Through the thick of it.
But it was, I guess, this reporter, Dan, he said that there was something about the story that he was that this guy was telling him that seemed truthful. Like, it seemed real.
Okay.
And he said, more importantly, the man claimed to know the identities of who was responsible for the murders.
Well, so we got to hear.
And he
out.
Said one of those people has already been dismissed by investigators.
Maybe that's why they were transferred.
And then he said the other one was a name that he had actually heard, but that this reporter had never heard before. But the police definitely had. This guy's name was Donald Ray Forrester. Now, Donald Ray Forrester's name, like I said, didn't ring a bell to Dan, but it definitely rang a bell with the Speedway area police, because since he was a teen, Forrester had been very familiar with law enforcement. He was a petty criminal, disorderly conduct, like petty theft, reckless driving, those kind of things.
What did I say in the beginning? I said, this is not their first rodeo.
No way. There you go.
I knew it.
But then after all these petty thefts and these little crimes, he definitely escalated to a violent crime in 1977. So right before the Burger Chef murders, he was arrested for, quote, assault and battery with the intent to gratify sexual desires.
Holy shit.
Which is a mighty escalation.
Yeah, that is.
Now, Forrester had actually been out on parole when the Burger Chef murders were committed. And he was arrested again for rape in April of 1979.
Wow.
So this goes in line.
Were the two female victims checked to see if they had, like, any signs that they had been raped?
It didn't seem like they had been. Nothing that I read suggested that they were.
Okay.
But he had been sentenced to 95 years in prison.
Wow.
So
good.
So Dan Lusitter, he went on like a research deep dive on the Burger Chef murders and on Donald Ray Forrester, because he was like, I got to try to make a connection here. And then he finally contacted Forrester, who was actually serving out his sentence at Pendleton Reformatory.
Shout out to Astapro for sponsoring this episode and providing us with free samples. Guys, I am obsessed with Astapro, and you should be too, because seasonal allergies are a freaking bummer. They make me feel like crud. They make me sneeze. They make my boogies all yucca, and it's just really kind of gross. But Astapro is a first-of-its-kind nasal allergy spray. It is the fastest 24-hour over-the-counter OTC allergy spray. It starts working in 30 minutes, while other allergy sprays take hours. Astapro is the first and only 24-hour steroid-free allergy spray. Astapro delivers full prescription-strength indoor and outdoor allergy relief from nasal congestion, runny and itchy nose, and sneezing. Have you tried Astapro, Elena? Because I'm obsessed.
I have, and it's so fast!
It's so fast! Astapro. It's faster, bro. Get fast-acting nasal allergy symptom relief with Astapro. Go to astaproallergy.com for a discount so you can Astapro and go today. Astepro allergy.com. It's faster, bro. Use as directed for relief of nasal congestion, runny nose, sneezing, and itchy nose due to allergies.
So he finally got him to agree to meet with him, and the meeting was June 24th, 1985. Now, at that point, Forrester had already been questioned by investigators about the Burger Chef murders. He had failed two polygraph tests, but he was saying that he knew nothing about the case. Nothing about the crime.
It's so funny because when somebody I'm rooting for fails a polygraph, I'm like, it means nothing. It
made a hot dog in a trench coat.
And then when somebody I'm like, I don't know about you, like, they failed it, I'm like, oh, they did it.
You're like, yep, that was it. I know, it's so true. But so this reporter, though, was like, because he's saying he knew nothing about the case. This reporter is not going to give up hope, though, because he's like, there's some connections here. The timing is making sense. He was out on parole during that time. He had just escalated to a lot of violence.
Yeah.
It's and he like committed another act of violence after.
Yeah. It's not like his name was just pulled out of thin air.
You know, but when he's going to meet with him, he's like, I have to be realistic about this. He might not give me anything. So when he went, he asked Forrester, he said, did you commit the murders? And Forrester said, I did not. But then Lusiter began just like, Dan, he began like pondering aloud. He's like, you know, I just wonder why. Why did these murders occur?
Smart
you
boy. Know?
And I guess Forrester, who was not asked directly this, just gave an answer and said it was drugs. Drugs and homosexuality.
What?
Yep. And he went on to say he was innocent. But he said he did know who committed the murders. And he said, I'll give you that information if you get me a new trial for the rape charges that I'm in here for.
And Dan is like, one more time for the people in the back. I'm a motherfucking journalist.
I can't give you a new trial, like, dude.
Like, I can write you a bomb-ass article. Yeah, that's pretty much all I've
that's
got.
That's all I got, man.
Maybe I could put a good word in with my editor. Like, yeah. I don't know.
It's just like, are you kidding me? But over the next few weeks, Dan Lusiter spent hours and hours and days just investigating Forrester. And eventually he got to interview Forrester's ex-wife.
Oh, shit. The plot motherfucking thickens.
Now, his ex-wife, she told Lusiter, that you need to bring detectives to this house.
Okay.
So he did. He brought detectives and she led them to shell casings that were hidden in the couple's septic tank that matched the ones found in the Burger Chef murders.
I don't even know where my septic tank is.
But they do.
How do you, like,
yeah.
What?
Yep.
What?
So then.
Does that mean that they weren't flushing their septic tank?
I have no idea how that works.
You're like, don't ask those questions.
I have no idea.
You're like, what's a sub?
I'm like, I don't know what they were doing. But
what the fuck?
But Lusiter brought this information to Forrester and was like, hey. Yeah. Like, do you want to say anything about that? And he was like, oh, no, I'm still innocent. But then he was like coyly giving pieces of information that you were like,
why would you know?
How do you know that? But he kept saying he wanted something in return.
And Dan again is like, I have nothing to give.
So detectives were called in here to talk to him and detectives spent weeks with him. They drove him to locations around that they thought might be connected to the murders. They brought him to a hypnotist in Akron, Ohio, but he would not admit to doing it. And he said he'd never been there. He had nothing to do with it. And investigators were so frustrated at this point. But eventually, he did provide the names of two men that he claimed were the killers. But detectives interviewed these two men. And they immediately knew he was lying.
And also like, oh, you just took the shell casings for them and hid them in your fucking septic tank all these years?
Well, and they were like, as soon as they sat down and started talking to them, the two men, they were like, no.
No,
like, this is a lie.
Right.
So by November of 1986, now nearly 8 years after the Burger Chef murders occurred, detectives were just done. They were like, Donald Forrester is not going to do the right thing. He's not going to confess.
Of course not.
We just have to try to get some evidence to like force it. And then they were stunned because they received a call that year saying that Donald Forrester wanted to chat with them. So no one understands why or what led this to happen, but Donald Forrester sat down with these detectives on November 10th, 1986, and he gave a detailed confession of the murders.
So what do you mean that this is unsolved?
So, and these were things, details that only someone who was there that night could have known. Like, he described the positions of the bodies, the wounds they suffered. One of the things he said was that Daniel Davis had been shot in the cheek and that had never been released to the public.
So why did he get arrested?
And that's a pretty spit. Well, he's in jail for 95 years.
Oh, right. Duh.
So yeah.
But did he have to, like...
Well, he also told investigators that the gun that was used, they threw in the White River, which makes sense that they never found the gun.
That's a big old river.
And he also confessed that it was him who had shot Ruth Shelton and Daniel Davis.
Oh, my God.
He admitted to the two, which also makes sense because Jane and Mark were the ones that were found further away. So not only did he confess, but he's confessing correctly, saying, I'm the one who shot the two that were found on the ground.
Holy shit.
Yeah. It's like, this guy did it.
And did he say who he did it with, or he wouldn't give them the name?
Now, so according to him, the murders, quote, resulted from an effort to collect a large debt over a cocaine deal that involved one of the victims. And the crimes had been committed by multiple people, obviously. Now, this was not seeming to be the real story, because if we look at the four people involved, like the four victims, it doesn't add up. Yeah. So everybody was like, I don't know about that. But in 1981... Jane Freet's brother, James, was arrested on cocaine charges.
Oh, so you think maybe they went there to, like, fuck with his sister?
Yeah.
To, like, intimidate him? Mm-hmm.
And he actually said at the time of his arrest that he suggested that Jane's murder could have been connected to his
arrest.
Cocaine shit.
Oh, no.
It doesn't look like the investigators followed up on it at the time, though, in 81.
What the fuck were they
because
doing?
It was in 81.
Right.
Like only a couple of years after the murders that he was arrested, Jane's brother. And at that time, he said to investigators, guys, I think this might be the reason that my sister was killed. And they didn't follow up on it.
Like,
and now this guy is sitting here saying that it's a cocaine deal.
And is there any notes or anything? Like,
But that's, like, wild that they just didn't follow. Like,
yeah.
I cannot imagine a more poorly fucking handled case than this.
No. Well, and
all
also,
the way through.
Seriously. Because it's, like, it's also, once you look at the scene, you're, like, yeah, that actually makes perfect fucking sense.
Like, exactly. You're, like, okay, now I see.
That's why they didn't take the ring. That's why they didn't take the cash. They got
they took the money out of the thing. They got what they wanted. And then they got to, that, and that's what, it makes sense.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Yep.
Now, based on this whole thing, police now connected the murders to the huge drug ring that had been operating in Speedway at the time.
Okay.
It was run by a guy that Forrester actually implicated as the individual who planned the whole thing in the first place.
Yeah, because he was running it, so he wanted his money.
Exactly. Now, in exchange for the information, Forrester was granted immunity from prosecution for this.
Because he was already in prison for 95 years.
But he was only going to be granted that if he hadn't committed the murders, which he already confessed to.
Okay.
So they kind of like played a little game.
Yeah.
And but this kind of backfired because 2 weeks later, he recanted. And he said that he had been coerced to confess by police and that they threatened to, you know, they threatened all this stuff and that when he was sent back to prison, he was going to be labeled an informant. And, like, that was going to get him killed. So that was him getting scared that he confessed.
Right.
And that he told all this shit about a huge drug ring.
Yeah.
And that when he went back in, that they were going to, like, clearly make him pay for it.
Exactly.
So now the confession is recanted. And investigators are looking for anything that can tie physically Forrester to these murders. I mean, that confession is great because he gave the details that only someone there could know.
But then it's
they
like he's saying
nothing physical.
And then it's like, if he's saying he was coerced into that, it's their word against it.
Because then he can say, well, they gave me those details.
Exactly.
But So they're trying to come up with anything, and they came across a charge from 1969 where Forrester was actually arrested for sexually assaulting a 14-year-old girl.
Wow, he's a piece of actual human garbage.
Yep, in a wooded area off Stones Crossing Road, which was about a mile and a half from where the Burger Chef murders occurred.
Wow.
Now, for some reason, he was never sentenced for sexual assault.
Oh,
for that.
Good.
But it kind of proved that, one, he's a piece of shit, and two, that he's familiar with the area location that they were found. Now, unfortunately, District Attorney Stephen Goldsmith didn't think this was sufficient to prove his guilt, which I can kind of see.
If I was on a jury, I don't know if that would move me.
It's just not enough. That's the thing. Now, his confession and then the recanting of that put the district attorney in a really bad position. There's one hand that's like the details. It's a near certainty that he is one of the killers.
Absolutely.
A near certainty. But on the other hand, this story had unraveled and been told and retold and fucked around so many times that it was now really difficult to tell what was true and what was lies.
Yeah.
And what was manipulated and what wasn't.
But the fact that he knew the details of like one of them being shot in the cheek when never been released.
They all believe like he 100% is one of the killers. Like that is it. But it just makes proving it
impossible.
A completely uphill battle. And the biggest problem that the district attorney faced was that so many people had been involved in the investigation and had contact with Forrester.
Right.
And all of them had received varying versions of the story, and none could settle on just one version of the story.
Yeah.
So it was like no one could even settle on like this is the narrative. And then what makes everything worse is that the territorial stuff and the ego stuff had completely plagued everything about this case over the years, had led to so many miscommunications, tainted evidence, missing evidence. There was going to be a mistrial if they brought this
100%.
It was such a tainted investigation from the beginning.
Because it was fucked from the start, exactly.
It was. Now, on December 20th, 1986, D.A. Goldsmith called a meeting with investigators from all the agencies involved in this case. Together, they combed over Forrester's statement. It was 1,200 pages.
1,200?
Yeah. All the statements that he had made.
Holy cannoli.
And after reviewing everything, Goldsmith held a press conference and he made an announcement. He said after careful consideration of this entire thing, he would not be pursuing charges against Donald Ray Forrester for the Burger Chef murders.
So bad for those families. They must have had hope for the first time in like so many years. Mm-hmm. And then just have that ripped away from you.
And he said that it like killed him to not do it. But he said too many years have gone by. Too many mistakes have been made in this case. And I don't know if we're going to be able to solve it.
No. Well, and the thing
like,
is, it's like
legally solve it.
Exactly. Like, I think everybody kind of knows what happened at this point. And it's like, that's horrible for the family that they had that hope. But at the same time, I'm glad that he realized that they didn't have enough, because if all those families had to go through trials and reopening all of that, and then to have it end in a mistrial or not guilty, fuck that.
Exactly. That's the thing. Because it's like, if they had gone through with it, it just would have tainted it further.
Exactly.
So it's like, I understand why he was like, it's really not worth it to do this.
Oh, it's such a bummer, though.
I know, it bummed me out so much.
It's like more than a bummer.
I know he did it. Now, in 2003, 25 years after the murders, Rachel and John Shelton, who are the parents of Ruth Shelton, they gave an interview about the still unsolved Burger Chef murders. And they said, at first, I was convinced that it would be solved. That's what her mother said. And she said, I guess we sure don't hold our breath about it. It was a very long time ago, which is like so sad, because that's just like just throwing our hands up, like no one's going to do it. Now, they had both hoped the killer would have been caught. But then when detectives told them that they didn't have enough evidence to prosecute the suspects, John Shelton said, to be honest, I don't even want to know their names.
I don't know for sure, then I don't want to harbor hatred and resentment toward one person that could or could not have done
it. So it's like, forget it. I don't even want to deal with it.
It's so half-assed at that point.
I know.
I'd be like, fuck off.
Yeah, like whatever. And today, the Burger Chef murder case is open but inactive.
It's so hard because it's like, there's no evidence
to look back
on.
There. And all the evidence that they do have, all the notes, all the statements and everything, it's in a 5-drawer file cabinet and 6.5-foot wall locker that's at State Police District 52 office, just sitting there, just not being touched. It's been years since they've pursued any leads. And most of the original investigators, or actually all of the original investigators on the case, have either retired or died.
Yeah.
And the Burger Chef restaurant chain was actually sold to CKE Restaurant Holdings in 1982. And it is now Hardee's Restaurant, which I didn't know.
I don't know. Have I heard of Hardee's?
Hardee's. It's like burgers, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And today, the old Burger Chef restaurant on Crawfordsville Road and Speedway sits empty.
Oh,
isn't that chilling?
Really chilling. Yeah, like, but then at the same time, it's like, what would you want to see go up there?
I know.
Other than a memorial. Like, no, a park, it's true. Or something.
Like something. I know, it should be like a park.
Yeah.
I feel like.
Yeah.
You know, but in the end, we're just left with this
nothing,
this frustrating void of information that we know. If more investigatory, like, due diligence was done from the get-go and people didn't walk into this thing with
good.
A preconceived narrative in their head, and they had actually taken even one fucking photo of that scene, that this all could be different.
Is mind-boggling.
But now we're sitting here and they're trying to solve this case that was just completely erased from the beginning. They erased it. Right, yeah. From the beginning.
And literally, they magic erased it away.
Yeah. And it's like, and then they're trying to, like, you know, right from the get-go, they're all sitting there being like, well, I think these kids just, you know, they decided that night to just steal all the money out of the safe and then took off together. Like, that was their first theory. And it's like,
with no prior past of any kind of fucking, yeah, with no criminal past.
Like, it's just like, okay, I see you. And then later they theorize that it must be Mark, the only Black employee that was taken out of that restaurant that day, who knew the killers and that he was the reason that they were all killed. And it's like, with what fucking evidence? You have no evidence to back that up.
You're racist.
Like, we're just going to go with Mark being the problem here. I don't think any of them were the problem here.
No, I think they were all victims.
And I do think that if Jane's own brother suggested that the cocaine stuff could have been to do with it, like his sister's murder.
Yeah.
I think we should listen to them.
Right.
They're telling you.
Some follow-up questions on that.
And he's not bullshitting. It's not like her brother is being like, oh, no, blah, blah. He's actively saying, like, probably out of guilt, like, probably out of, like, anger and sadness and, like, grief, like, this could have had something to do with it. Like, investigate it.
That's the thing. Like, why would he say that other than to be like, please, like, exactly, investigate this? He's not going to implicate himself even further.
No, he brought it. Like, that's a fucking brother.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, regardless of what he was doing in his personal life or any, like, the cocaine stuff, it's like that he was being a brother.
Yeah.
Like, he was being a brother and being like, I'm going to put myself out on a limb here. And I want you to investigate this because I think it could have something to do with it. And they just ignored him. And then you have Donald Ray Forrester sitting there giving that exact same story and saying it is because of cocaine,
right,
and a debt that would needed to pay. And it's like, that seems to me to line up.
Wow.
Yeah. It's a very frustrating case.
And also, if that is the case with the whole cocaine charge, it's like, why did you, like, you didn't need to involve his sister in the Burger Chef restaurant.
No, and, it's like, fucked up.
Deal with it directly.
No, it's really fucked up.
But
it's scary what money will do to people.
And drugs.
Yeah. Money and drugs mixed together. Oof.
Bad.
Yikes.
News.
It's like a bad, bad combination.
God, that's so scary. Drug rings, I think, are one of the scariest fucking things on the planet. Because it's just
truly
ruthless.
Yeah, that's why I'm just like, okay.
Bye-bye. Yeah, with that being said, we hope you keep listening.
We hope you
keep
it.
Weird. But it's so weird that you run a drug ring because we're scared. Bye.
Bye.
you like Morbid, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.